The following program is rated PG. Please be advised that what you are about to hear may contain mature themes, mild uses of bad language, and some instances of violence which may be unsuitable for younger listeners. Parental guidance is suggested.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Listening to our series of magic, monsters, and mayhem. This is Chapter 1 of Fudge and Foul, written by Jonathan Patrick Russell.
Greetings. My name is Stephen, and I am a sprite. And as you may be aware, we sprites are great storytellers. I am here to impart a tale to you, dear listener, a tale of great whimsical adventure. There were once four adventurers in a mystical land called Baronhurst, who were sent on a quest by an old crone named Litmere. It came to pass that these four adventurers were sent to find a strange object known as, Freaky Fudge. This very special kind of fudge was said to behold the power to restore good health to the ailing old crone, and this is why she so desired it. At least, this is what she told our band of very naive heroes. Our story begins sometime after our heroes had been bestowed this strange quest, when they find themselves in an enchanted forest called, unimaginably, the Enchanted Wood. We find the four chosen ones in fair spirits, though whether their spirits would remain so is another matter altogether.
Ah, time for a rest. This seems a good place to camp for the night.
Really? How do you deduce that?
Well, we've come to a clearing in this forest. Yonder flows a beautiful brook. It's that time of day. And besides that, I'm hungry. I thought I'd send Greybeard fishing for my supper.
Well, you can forget it.
Why, pray tell?
Because I don't like fishing. That's why. So if you want any bloody fish, you can catch them yourself, Blundy.
Besides all that, who made you leader of this band anyway, Brett?
So we're a band now. Funny, I don't see any instruments.
Good one, Rosa.
I didn't say it to humor you, Gawain.
Oh, I know. You only behave this way towards me because you like me, and you don't want to let on to the others that it is so.
Dream on, pretty boy.
So, you think I'm pretty, eh?
Hardly. And old Waldo has a point. No one made you the leader of our little group. If anyone here is qualified for that position, it's me.
A woman leader? Ha.
Why, you thick-headed ogre.
Ogre? I think we all know I'm much too good-looking to be any kind of ogre. Eh, boys?
Meh, I've seen a few. Shall we say, dainty ogres in my time, laddie.
Dainty? Well, what say you, Greybeard?
I can't speak of the dainty bits, but, well, I do have one question for you. Which one of you's the man and which one's the woman? It's really hard to tell. I mean, it's here everywhere with a lot of you.
Well, there goes your manhood, Gawain. And that settles it. I'm the leader. End of discussion.
I suppose I should interject here and explain who our intrepid heroes are.
Who in the hell was speaking just then? A voice. I was hearing a voice. Sort of distant, yet not so far away.
Losing your mind, dwarf?
Yep. You're losing it, Greybeard.
Maybe so. Otherwise, how do you explain why I'm on a quest with ye three misfits?
Anyway, as I was saying, I should explain who's who in our motley crew.
There it goes again. I know I heard a voice. Someone speaking. Who are you? Come out right now if you value your life.
It's probably a story sprite. We are in an enchanted forest, you know. You get those from time to time, halfwit.
Oh, if you're gonna be insulting, I'm not doing any cooking tonight.
All right, I'll be nice, at least till after dinner.
The great jokester is Waldo Riddendorf, a mage. Not necessarily a particularly good mage, but passable in a crunch.
Here? I heard that. Passable? What an insult.
Oh, so you're hearing the voices too now, eh? So it's not just me who's losing his mind.
That was Greybeard the Dwarf. And you'll never guess how he got his name.
I was born with a grey beard. So what? Lots of dwarves are.
Right enough. But how unoriginal.
Me parents weren't scholars, you know. We's just good, clean, simple folk. Unlike some.
Now, well, who would you be insulting, dwarf?
Take a guess, Longshanks.
Sticks and stones, dwarf.
What about him?
Well, you know that old saying?
What old saying?
Come to think of it, I'm not sure myself. Oh, well.
Anyway, leading our party of heroes is either muscle-bound warrior Brett Gawain, a man so sure of himself he actually believes he will one day win the lottery, despite the fact that he has not nor ever does plan to play. On the other, perhaps more likely candidate for party leader, Rosa Dernhelm, an elven princess who seems to edge out, if ever so slightly, the rest of this motley band of misfits in intelligence. She has guile, beauty, wit, good manners, at times great skill with a bow, and perhaps most importantly, a rudimentary understanding of the art of intelligent and interesting conversation. This is proven by the conversation these two have later in the evening.
Rosa, the moonlight shines magnificently off your incredibly gorgeous red hair. Would you do me the honor of sleeping with me?
You must be out of your empty little muscle-bound head if you seriously think I'd sleep with you, Gawain.
Oh, come now, Rosa. You know you want me. I mean, look at me. Look at these muscles.
Very interesting. But you can keep your muscles right where they are, away from me.
Now, let's not play lovers' games, Rosa.
I doubt you would know how to even play a simple game of hopscotch, Gawain. And you can put the very thought of any so-called lovers' games with me right out of your mind. It's simply not happening.
But why not? Honestly, Rosa.
For starters, I am an elven princess of the Hunani tribe. Second, I was betrothed to a prince of the Weiwei tribe of the Ganti Forest region at birth. Thirdly, you are not of noble elvish blood. And finally, I wouldn't lower and shame myself to take pleasure with such an unintelligent, boring, uninteresting, unworthy oaf such as the likes of you, Gawain. Enough said.
But you do admit it would be a pleasure.
Don't flatter yourself.
You want me? Someday, Rosa. Someday.
Dream on, Gawain.
Oh, I will. Believe me, I will. Ooh, yum, yum, baby.
Oh, don't be disgusting.
But that's what makes it fun.
Barbarian.
Yeah? What of it?
Oh, just never mind. Go get some sleep. Far away from me, hmm?
As our intrepid band of heroes sleep, others haven't the ability. Earlier I mentioned the old crone Litmia, who convinced our small group of adventurers to begin the great quest searching for Freaky Fudge. I think now might be a good time to introduce her into the story, and her young servant, Ula the Cat. Now, Ula isn't exactly a cat. Well, not anymore, at least. You see, once she was full feline. You see, Litmia once had another servant named Rust. We'll get to him later. Needless to say, Rust is no longer associated with Litmia. But every old crone needs a servant, or so that is how Litmia sees it. So she turned her ordinary house cat into a sort of, half-cat, half-human hybrid. Ula the Cat. Despite convincing our wayward heroes that she was dying of old age and needed Freaky Fudge simply as a restorative to save her life, all was not on the up and up with Litmia. I mean, have you ever met a nice witch? Oh, you have? Well, trust me, in the land of Baronhurst and other realms like it, witches are not the nice sort, as you will soon learn.
Ula! Ula, where are you, child?
Here I am, m'lady. Sorry, I was cleaning out the owl's nest. You know how unkempt they can be.
You mean they did their duties all over the place?
Wouldn't have it put quite so bluntly, your worshipfulness, but yes, that about sums it up.
You're just a little Puritan, aren't you, Ula?
Well, I wouldn't say that, miss. Just not nearly as crude as yourself.
Crude? Crude is insulting, Ula. Bend over.
As you command, my mistress.
Mistress? Ooh, Ula, you little minx. I may have to forgive you. This time. But I'm still gonna spank you.
As you command, my mistress.
Oh, maybe later. I'm just not in the mood right now. Straighten back up, girl.
You? Not in the mood to give me a spanking? You must really be depressed this fine night.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was a good day. Well, good-ish. I can't admit to ever having a good day in my life. But I sent those fools off in search of Freaky Fudge. Didn't tell them what it's really used for, of course.
What did you tell them, miss?
Just that it restores health.
What does it really do, my everything?
Oh, you know, restores health, youth, and grants magical power to whoever ingests it. Well, as long as they're a witch, of course.
And if it's eaten by anyone who isn't a witch?
Oh, nothing good. Of course, if a mage or a wizard cooks it up and takes it down, well, let's just say they'll have one hell of a night. And a few questionable days afterwards.
You're so bad, my majesty.
Yes, I'm so bad. And so good at it.
Oh, of course you are, my centerpiece. So how long do you think it will take these adventurers to find this Freaky Fudge for you?
Oh, it's rare. Could take months. But when they do, oh, Ula, when they do.
When they do, my lady? What happens when they do?
I will have enough power to rule all the land.
She's not half insane, is she? Oh, and she's not the only threat to all the land. Oh no, not by a long way. I should tell you about Lord Terrible the Terrible. Oh yes, you heard me correctly. Now there's a bad one. Now, you heard me mention Litmia's former servant, Rust. Well, not only old crones have need of mindless servants, you know. Even ruthless dictators and emperors have need of them at times. Rust had ended up in the dungeons of Castle Frist, where he was taken pity upon by the evil dictatorial emperor of the land of Baronhurst, Lord Terrible the Terrible, as they call him. He was terrible by birth and terrible by living. I can't even begin to describe just what I mean by terrible. You'll just have to find out for yourselves as our series of tales unfolds. But for now, we join Lord Terrible and his pathetic servant Rust within Castle Frist as they prepare for what is to come.
Rust! Rust! Get in here at once!
Coming, my lord.
Where the devil have you been, Rust? I've been screeching my head off for what seems like half an hour now.
I beg your pardon, sir. Well, I was down in the pit, cleaning out the Barvin den. And you know what Barvin are, sir.
No, not really, Rust. I think I need an explanation of that one.
Well, you know. They're sort of a cross between a bear and a goat, but very vicious. Nasty little buggers they are. We use them in the arena to punish your enemies, lord.
Oh, yes. That's what those things are called. It slipped my mind, you know, Rast.
Oh, dear. That's not a good sign, sir.
Yes. I'm having one hell of a day.
Oh, no, sir. What can I do to help?
Oh, I don't know, Rast. Rub my feet?
Oh, of course, lord. Anything you want, sir. Just let me see those little tootsies. There. Oh, I bet that feels good. We'll have you all relaxed in no time, sir.
Oh, careful now, Rust. You know how sensitive my feet are.
Oh, yes. So sorry, my master. Not to worry. I'll be gentle.
Yes. Be gentle with me, Rust. Oh, yes. Slower. Slower. Oh, yes. Much better. You are a marvel, you know, Rast. You have such magic fingers.
Do I, sir? Oh, news to me. I should have taken it up as a profession, eh?
What's that, Rast?
Oh, you know, sir, the art of massage, if I truly am a natural.
Don't get a big head, eh, Rast? After all, if I hadn't seen you looking so pathetic in the dungeon on that cold winter's morning, you might not even be here anymore.
Oh, right you are, sir. Oh, how I'd forgotten.
Yes. How pathetic and sad you looked that day. You were lucky I decided to take pity on you. So, let's not get any big ideas, eh, Rast? You were born into servitude, and you shall remain there the rest of your sad, pathetic days. You're serving me. Forever. That is, unless I get sick to death of looking at you and toss you into the pit with those... what did you call them?
Barvim, sir. Nasty creatures. They'd eat me whole, sir.
Yes, that's right, Rast. They'd make quite a meal of you. I mean, you look like you've had quite a few extra meals yourself, you know. So, they'd munch on your bits for days. And you do well to remember that. So, you think you'd ever be considered as special, eh?
Oh, heaven forbid, sir. Never.
All right, Rast, you can stop now. Oh, that feels much better. Doesn't solve my real problem, though.
Oh, really, sir? Now, whatever could be wrong? Tell little Rasty.
Rasty? Oh, no, no, no. Don't give yourself pet names, Rast. Leave the name calling to me, in fact.
Oh, of course. Whatever you say, lord.
Anyway, my problem involves this group of heroes who have ventured into the area.
Oh, what group of heroes? Shall I release the Barvim, sir?
No, 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 Rast. It would prove a waste of time, I fear. No, we simply need to keep an eye on things. But I suspect these so-called heroes could be trouble. I'm told they were sent on a quest by that old hag you used to work for. What was her name?
Do you mean Litmia, sir?
That's the one. Bitch! I hate that old crone, Rast.
Oh, so do I, sir. She's terrible. Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. No one is as terrible as you, sir. Especially that sad, pathetic old hag.
It's all right, Raz. Forget it.
Forgotten, sir.
Just don't let it happen again, or I'll toss you down an endless chasm.
Wouldn't dream of making the same mistake twice, sir.
Good. Good. But you know, Rast, I fear these heroes could spell trouble for me. We must find out exactly who they are and what that old crone has sent them here in search of. I'll leave that in your capable hands, Rast. Perhaps capable is a bit much, but let me tell you, you'd better not let me down. Well, you know what's in store for you, eh, Rast?
Oh, yes, my lord. If I fail you, I'll be cleaning the Judy out of the owl cages for sure. A fate worse than death.
And so our tale comes to a close for this chapter. Yes, I know not much happened this go-round. This one was more or less a meet-and-greet sort of thing. An introduction, if you will. But trust me, things will certainly heat up in the next installment of our story. Well, maybe not heat up so much as cool down when our adventurers travel to the frozen lands. Oh, believe me, things will get very exciting indeed. You can trust me on that. What? I'm Story Sprite. My integrity is beyond reproach. Believe me. Well, until next time, then.
Good people, you have been listening to our series of Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem. Chapter 1 of Fudge and Foul, which was written by Jonathan Patrick Russell. This installment starred, in order of appearance, David Ault as Stephen the Sprite, Pete Lutz as Brett Gawain, Deborah Adams as Rosa Dernhelm, Dave Weaver as Greybeard the Dwarf, Jeff Niles as Waldo Riddendorf, Nizan Hayward as Litmia the Crone, Danny Cutler as Ula the Cat, Joel Nisbet as Lord Terrible, and Victor Aurelius as Rast. The Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem theme tune was composed and performed by Tom Rory Parsons. The incidental music used in this program can be found at jsales.com. The post-production editor was Jeff Niles. The series creator, sound designer, script editor, producer, and director was Jonathan Patrick Russell. The copyright for Magic, Monsters, and Mayhem is held by Dream Realm Enterprises. Any rebroadcast or reproduction of this program without the expressed permission of Dream Realm Enterprises is strictly prohibited. We thank you for listening to our humble program. We invite you to visit us on the web at dreamrealmsite.com. And if you'd like to email us with any of your comments or questions, you may do so at docbuilding1@yahoo.com. Please be sure to tune in to Chapter 2 of our story, coming soon, which is titled The Frozen Lands, which finds our intrepid heroes in the coldest place in the world. Until then, we bid you good journey.
This program is copyright 2016, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises. The journey continues.